Good morning. My name is Andy. I am with Christian Campus Fellowship. I'm one of the campus ministers there, and I don't want to take a lot of time with that, but I do want to take just a minute and give a couple of quick kind of teaser trailer updates on some stuff with CCF. For those of you who don't know, we actually, this June, one very exciting thing we're doing is adding one more minister to our staff, which is very exciting for those of us on staff. So we'll have four full-time ministers and two interns this fall, which that's what it takes to for us to keep up with what Alan did by himself and to in more depth. But we are actually beginning stages of a new building project. We just did an expansion on the men's house a couple years ago, and we are looking at beginning a project to build a permanent women's house. Right now we're renting, and so we're buying property and going to build a place for the women to live. And also, that building will have a worship center in it, which is super exciting. So, with that, I also want to mention that I got bored this morning at 4 o'clock when I got up, and so I went ahead and made a YouVersion event. So if you have the Bible app on your phone, if you go to events on there, it's on the menu, you'll find the notes that are on the screen on your phone as well, so you can kind of follow along, and it has a place where you can make some notes as you go. We've been doing that for the Thursday worship service with the students, and I like it a lot, and so I just thought I'd go ahead and throw that up and let you guys know that is there. I'm very excited to be here and preach this morning, partly because I never get to preach in the morning. I'm very much a morning person. Like I said, I got up at 4 this morning just because, why not? And I always have to preach at like 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night with the college students, and that's like an hour and a half past my bedtime. So I'm awake, so this will be a different experience for the college students that are here. The passage I want to talk about today, I wanted to cram as much scripture into one sermon as we could, and so we're going to take a look at Acts 2:42. So if you want to open your Bibles up, or you can look at the screen behind me, and Aaron's going to put that verse on there for us right now. Good timing. And this verse, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what we're going to cover today. This verse, it has a lot in there. It's just one verse, but it has a lot in there about what we as a church should be doing. So we're going to kind of break this verse down a little bit, and I want to talk first of all what being devoted means. That's what this verse is talking about, being devoted to those four things. And devotion is not a one-and-done kind of thing. It's an ongoing situation. It's a continual thing. It's a commitment. Devotion is a love for or a loyalty to. So then what does devotion look like in our life? I was trying to think of some examples, and the first thing I thought of was devoted fans. Any of you know any devoted sports fans, maybe? There it is. There it is. So you know those people. They root for their team. It's not the Blues. It's not that hockey team. It's my Blues. Am I right? All right. And when I actually thought of Blues when I was writing this down, and Ryan's downstairs, unfortunately, because he is a devoted Blues fan. There's maybe some Cardinals fans, and it's not the Cardinals. It's our Cardinals. It's my Cardinals. That's my team. You know, those devoted sports fans, they wear the apparel, or they paint themselves up for the game so you don't even know they're not wearing the apparel. Those are the guys. Those are the devoted fans. Another thing we hear about devoted is devoted friends, and it may not say much for me, but I thought of the dog. I'll talk about devoted spouse in a minute, but who has a dog that's kind of your devoted friend? You know, man's best friend. Anyone? You with me? All right. So I have a poodle. He's a man's poodle. No fluffy haircuts. No big poof balls on his head. He's all man. But not anymore, actually. But anyway. He is a 50-pound poodle. So that's not like a tiny little yappy dog. And he is a devoted friend. Just the other day, Amy was putting her shoes on, and she kicked him in the face, kneed him in the face, and he was standing there all happy like, thank you, can you do that again? He is so excited when we get home. Even if I leave and I go to the mailbox and back, he is at the door greeting me, 50-pound poodle, you know, he can lick my face, no problem. He does that. He loves the kids. He's taller than them. And I mean, how many of you have a best friend that licks your face when you get home? All right, there's one college student actually over there raising her hand shyly too. We have those devoted friends. We also hear devoted spouse. You may think, you know, breakfast in bed. I'm going to get some people in trouble here with this. Breakfast in bed, helping when you can't help yourself, encouraging words on a hard day. You know that devoted spouse is going to be there when you get home and things are just falling apart in the world to make you realize it's not that bad. Right there, holding your hand. What are some other devoted things we think of when we think of devotion? What can you be devoted to? Family? Children. There are a lot of things that we can find devotion to. In Acts, as the church was getting started, we can read here in Acts 2:42. We'll read it again. And let's read it together. We're going to say this verse several times through, so maybe by the time we all leave here, we'll have it memorized. But let's just say this together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So in the world at this time, this verse comes right after Jesus was crucified. Several of his disciples and followers saw him. Thomas got to touch him. Some of them ate broiled fish on the beach with him. And then they saw him rise up into heaven, where he's going to prepare a place for us. And so they had seen him throughout his ministry on earth. Some of them very closely, they followed him around. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him make the people who couldn't walk able to walk, couldn't see able to see, couldn't hear able to hear. They even saw him call a dead man out of his grave. But now he's gone. Their friend, their teacher, their leader, he's gone. They don't know what to do. These followers of his were commissioned. They were set apart to carry on and establish his church. That is, to teach his message to the world. During his ministry, the Bible says in Mark 1:22 that he taught with an authority they were unfamiliar with. It says they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. As his ministry on earth was ending, he delegated his authority to these apostles. He delegated his authority to teach and to do many other things. They were called to teach what he did and what he said while he was on earth. They were also called to instruct the disciples, those who were following, to learn what he had to say, what he had to teach them. And it wasn't always easy. They were persecuted. They were being pushed out of their synagogues. They were, we can read just a few chapters later how Paul, when he was Saul, was persecuting those of the way, the Christians, the followers of Christ, even putting them in prison, putting them to death as blasphemers, the people who were against God. They were cast out by family, threatened by local government and church authorities, and still they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and to the fellowship. These four things mentioned here are the very basic parts of what we as the church are called to do, or at least they're what we should be doing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. At that time, the apostles' teaching was done in the synagogues. It was done face-to-face. You would come and you would hear the rabbi, you would hear the teacher speak verbal. Most of the people couldn't read. They knew what firsthand accounts had told them. And their authority, aside from Christ, were those who followed him most closely, those apostles. I think of Peter. Today, when we hear the apostles' teaching, we hear it in a much different way than what the first century church was limited to. We have the church here, and so we trust that Adam, Ryan, Alan, and the elders, and whoever's teaching, that they're teaching the apostles' lessons, they're teaching the scriptures to us well, and have studied that with prayer and deep study. We have Sunday school classes. How many of you have been going to Sunday school? Okay, if your hand's not up, this is the plug to go to Sunday school. How many of you are in a life group? All right. If your hand's not up, this is a plug to get involved in a life group, all right? This is being devoted to the apostles' teaching. The college students get a bonus because they not only get to come to church on Sunday and do small groups or life groups and go to Sunday school, they get a worship service in the middle of the week on Thursday night, so they just get, it's either a blessing or a curse because I speak there sometimes too. I don't know. That's why we didn't tell you guys ahead of time that I was speaking, so glad you're here. One other advantage, one big advantage we have over the apostles is we have their teaching right here. We have what they knew. We have what they saw. We have what they did recorded in our Bibles. And most of us have a Bible, either a physical, you know, bound, old school type book that you can hold in your hands. Some of us, we have the Bible on our phones. And if you don't, again, I'll throw Adam's name out here just so we feel like he's here with us today. If you literally don't have a Bible, let him know, and he is happy to get one in your hand so that you can be devoted to the apostles' teaching. So then we have all these ways we have the apostles' teaching here. So how can we be devoted to it? Well, the easy answer is read the Bible. And I mean read it more than just on Sunday morning when you're sitting here and you read this verse and say, check, I've got my Bible reading done for the week. That's not enough. pick up your Bible throughout the week, open your Bible app on your phone, not while you're driving, but open it up and take a look at the scriptures, and maybe you've tried a Bible reading plan before. Has anyone done the one where you start in Genesis to read the whole Bible through? And you made it through Genesis? Okay, some hands went down. You made it through Exodus? Yeah? Get into Leviticus and it's gone. Numbers, right? So we make it through sometimes, but some of that stuff is hard to read. That if that's not something that is an obtainable goal for you, to read Genesis through Amen and Revelation, don't try that. Open up to something that you can handle. Do something you can get through. A lot of people will do a proverb a day, or even do a verse out of a proverb a day. If one verse a day is something you can do, and that's more than you're doing now, read one verse a day. And then maybe you get used to that, and you're like, that's not so bad. It took me about 3 seconds to pick it up. I open it up, and in 15 seconds total, I'd read that verse. Read a second verse. Read a third verse. Build up and just continue to add on to that. Do better tomorrow than what you did today. Do better today than what you did yesterday. It's hard to keep going on something like that, going through the name list and the genealogies and all the laws in Leviticus, unless you're devoted to the apostles' teaching. Do we treat our jobs like we sometimes treat our Bible reading plans? You know, you get in, it's really exciting. You have a new name badge maybe, and you get a key card for the door or a key or something. You have these new responsibilities, these hours, you get a paycheck. And then the excitement kind of wears off, and you know what? I'm just going to put this down, and I'll come back in a few weeks whenever I'm in the mood for it, and the job will still be there. We can't do that. Do we treat our spouses like that? You know, you get married, the honeymoon phase, sometimes it lasts, you know, that phase a week, sometimes a year. Amy's not in here. Otherwise, I would say like 11 years still in the honeymoon phase. But so someone tell her, plug for me, bonus points. We don't treat our marriages like we treat some Bible reading plans where we just kind of skip it for a day or two. What about our kids? Elizabeth, is that how you treat baby Biles? You know, he's exciting for a day or two, glad he's here, and then you know what? You smell and you're loud. I'll come back in a couple weeks.
What about Bryce or Ryan?
Touche. Be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Open up your Bibles and get into the Word. The verse again says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The second thing they said was the fellowship. Fellowship was super important in their society, and it is in ours as well. Their society was set up very much more communal. It was a small town. Their churches were smaller. They were no more than 50 because they met in people's homes, and even today still not many people have homes that can fit 50 people or more. And so they had to depend on one another. They had to help one another out. They had to be devoted to the fellowship. So how can we view our church body today in our town where some of us drive 20 minutes maybe to get to church, maybe more? How can we be devoted to our fellowship and care for one another as such? Well, if you look in your Bibles or on your app or whatever, or you have the whole Bible memorized, you look ahead the next couple verses in Acts 2, 44 through 47, it gives us a couple of ideas. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possession and were sharing them with all as anyone who might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So share your things, share your stuff. Be at church. If you've been coming to the church for a while and you've never placed membership, you won't actually have to preach 2 weeks after you place membership. So consider that. If this is where you're going, even college students, if this is where you're going to be at church for a couple years, give your membership to this church and be committed. Be dedicated. Be a part of this fellowship. Be devoted. Share in life. Do meals together. We'll talk about breaking bread in just a minute, but be in one another's home, preferably invited. But go to one another's home. Invite people over. Look around you here in church, at your job, out in town, and invite people over and get to know them. And let's share life with one another, and let's be devoted to the fellowship of believers. The next thing they talk about is the breaking of bread. And this concept wasn't new in the first century. It's not really new to us, but it could kind of go two ways. They could be talking about the communion like we do at church here each week, where we have the crackers and the juice, and we do this because the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. We join together and remember Jesus' body and the blood shed on the cross, and we just take a moment out of our week and we think back on what that meant. The sacrifice that God made, we come together as a family, as a body of believers, we pass the trays, and we remember that sacrifice. Before the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the Israelites had to go to synagogues, and they had to make these animal sacrifices, 2 doves and a lamb, 3 goats and a sheep, whatever. And you had to obey all these laws. God kind of gave them a temporary hall pass situation, but he knew that that wouldn't last. You know, the hall pass, you can wander around the halls. Some of us pushed our luck with that and maybe missed the entire class period and showed up at the end and gave back and said, I have to go to the next class now. The Israelites rode that wave as long as they could, and God said, it is time. Here's my son. He'll take care of this for you. God knew it wouldn't last long, so he gave us Jesus, and we can be devoted to the breaking of bread by remembering and commemorating what he did on the cross for us. Or breaking bread together can mean simply having a meal together. Like I said, be in one another's homes. Take someone out to Burger King for a value meal. Have a meal together. Typically, when you invite people over for a meal, it's to get to know them. It's to hang out and fellowship. You don't invite someone over and just sit there and stare at one another. Take that time. Have a meal together. Some people do. My parents do. It's okay. We get past it. And enjoy that meal together and get to know people. Be devoted to the breaking of bread. Finally, the verse says that they were devoted to prayer. We discussed earlier what it means to be devoted. Do you remember the sports jerseys, the sports fans, the dog licking you in the face? Is it easy to see that a devoted fan is devoted to his team or her team? You can tell. Is it easy to see when the dog jumps in your face and is licking your face that he's devoted to you? How about the people around you? Can they look at you and see that you're devoted to prayer? Can they look at you and see that you're devoted to God? Can they look at you and see that you're devoted to that relationship and communicating what's going on in your life with God? I challenge you to pray as often as those rabid sports fans think about their team. Pray as much as, you know, that as excitedly as that dog when you get home at the end of the day or after walking out the door and back in because you forgot your keys. Adam's been talking about prayer for 6 weeks. He's been going over the prayers that Jesus prayed where we don't know what he prayed. The Bible just says that Jesus prayed. And he's going to come back and he's going to pick up with the prayers that Jesus prayed where we do know what Jesus prayed. So we're learning about prayer, and it's important that we be devoted to prayer. It's important that we communicate with God. If I were to stop talking to Amy for a few weeks, that's not going to fly. How many of you college students, anyone have a boyfriend or girlfriend that's fairly new? You talk to that person occasionally, right? Otherwise, you're probably not together and you don't even know it. How can we be devoted to prayer? Well, first off, it's as easy as being devoted to the apostles' teaching. To be devoted to the apostles' teaching, read the Bible. Start there. Being devoted to prayer, step one, pray. And you don't have to spend hours on your knees every day. Don't start with that. If that's not something you can do, don't start there. Just pray. Don't be scared to open up to God. Pray for your food. Thank God for what you're about to eat. If you have a moment of fear, you don't know what's coming, say something. Take that breath and pray for God's guidance. If someone asks you a question about the scriptures or challenges you about the word of God, take that breath and pray for God to guide you. Ask him to help you. Pray for and with your family. Pray for and with your friends, your spouse. Spend time in prayer with your dog next to you if that's the only devoted friend you have. Stop giving God the silent treatment and pray. Be devoted to prayer. So what does it look like to lead a devoted life when the world can be so harsh, when our schedules can be so full, so packed that we hardly have time to grab lunch or grab dinner or say hello or goodbye? We're passing ourselves in the hallway. How can we be devoted to one more thing? Well, just as the apostles and the disciples were called apart, they were set aside to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share what Jesus said. You are too. It's your duty. It's your calling to share that gospel in your life with the way you live, with the words you speak, even with the way you react in certain situations when people in the world come at you. You're called to be devoted to those same things. You're called to study the Word. You're called to get into the Bible. Small groups, coming to church, life groups, open it up on your own. Be here on Sunday morning. Be devoted to the apostles' teaching. You're called to be at church, to be devoted to the fellowship. You're called to remember what Christ did, to celebrate that each week, and to commemorate the sacrifice that he made by being devoted to the breaking of bread. And you're called to pray. You're called to talk to God, to share what's going on in your life, to tell him the ups and downs. Tell him your joys, tell him your sorrows, tell him your frustrations, but be devoted to prayer. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We're going to sing one more song together. And if you have questions about living a devoted life, come up and talk to me. Go back and talk to Alan. Talk to someone. But be devoted. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for the chance that we have to come together here today. I pray that you would be with us as we go out from here, God, that we could remember your word and we could be devoted to studying what is in these pages, God. I pray that you would just help us have the strength to be devoted in all aspects of our life to you, God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the sacrifice of your son. And it's in his precious name I pray. Amen.